God's salvation, then who are we placing our trust and faith in? God or ourselves? So I want you to understand, there's going to be some statements that I say today that's going to seem and appear to be maybe coming from a work standpoint. But we're talking about, there's a difference between a work standpoint to gain salvation and being obedient to God's word. And so I want you to understand that obedience is not what comes first. Obedience is an action or a reaction, as it were, of something that's just happened on the inside of you. A birthing takes place. It's called for by grace are you saved. Then through faith. So grace is a gift from God. So once that happens, what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to be obedient. So you'll see that the resulting of that. So keep that in mind as we go through the scripture. Now look at what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So is it a result of works? Is it a result of being good, having good behavior, a good posturing ourselves in the right way? None of that is what gains us salvation, which leads to eternal life. Remember, that's what we started with this morning. We want eternal life. So salvation is by the grace of God, God's unmerited favor to us. So listen, I love my people so much, I'm going to give them grace. And he shows us that grace by his unconditional love to us by sending his only begotten son to die the penalty that we should have died, that penalty that should have been ours. And remember, that death was permanent death. No coming back from it. There is no resurrection paid for. When you die outside of God, there is no resurrection to bring you back to eternal life. The only thing you have is judgment in the end. Remember that. When you die outside of God, there is nothing for you to bring you back to eternal life. Absolutely nothing. The only thing you have is judgment before God and the white throne judgment and the penalty of dying in your sins. In Christ, or through Christ, or by Christ, when you die, there is a resurrection from the dead, that permanent dead, to eternal life. And then to go before the Lord to receive those judgments, which is those who will be great or least in the kingdom of God. I'm thinking I'm wanting the latter. Amen? The first one has no hope in it. Sure, you get to live your life like you want it. Absolutely. Can anybody tell me how to live my life the way I want to live it on this planet? Absolutely not. Folks may try to, but you can live it however you want. You can do whatever you want to do in this life. It's your choice. But if you're planning to live just this life, you know what Paul says? Eat, drink, be merry. Have yourself a good time, because at the end, it's over. But if you're prepared for eternal life, you got to submit to the things of God, because there's only one way to have eternal life, and that's through Christ Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So, and therefore, if I'm going to go to that, and that's what I seek, eternal life, if I'm going to obtain that, I have to be obedient to the things of God. I have to obey. If he tells me, okay, to get that, this is what you have to do, then that's what we'll do. Amen? So keep that in mind. That is as clear as day to me. As clear as day. Salvation is by grace, through faith and not by works. So in reality, obedience is just the resulting output of our faith in God's word. So remember that. Obedience is the resulting output of faith in God's word. So that's the key. So where's faith play? Faith is, I'm trusting God's word. This is the word of God. I'm reading it. Faith says, I'm trusting this. That's faith. So keep that in mind. I'll give you some more definitions later on in the message. So faith is, I'm reading this and I'm trusting God's word. That's faith. Obedience is a resulting output of our faith, of our trusting. So somebody says, I believe in this. I'm trusting this. Well, we're going to find out. How are we going to find out? Obedience is the resulting output of our faith in God's word. So if I'm not obeying, is it going to be hard for me to sell to people that I have faith? Absolutely. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you tell somebody, I have faith, but you obey none of God's commands. That's, to me, I don't know how that works. Yet we live in a society that says, we love God. We love God, but we're just going to do what we want. Has anybody ever noticed here lately that everything's spiraling downward really fast? And everybody loves God. That's amazing to me. That it's doing that, but everybody loves God. And you say, you have faith? Oh, yes, I have faith. Well, the truth is, we can't make these things up as we go. And we better be careful that we don't get caught in the spiraling. It's all going down quick. We live in a country that's absolutely chaotic when it comes to what they believe and what they don't believe and what's their definition of God and salvation and all of that. So I'm here to tell you that we better wake up and we better make sure that we understand the scripture. And if you're going to come here on Sunday, I'm not going to waste your time with little stories that can get little chill bumps to crawl up on the back of your neck. I'm going to teach the Bible. I'm going to show you what it clearly says, that we got to make sure that in the last days, and I believe we're in them, that we better be careful that we pay attention to what God says, or the very elect will be deceived to believing that it's an anything goes society. It doesn't make a difference. You can do whatever you want. When it comes to life, and when it comes to the sanctity of what God's plan of a man and a woman is in the Bible, and we just think, well, it's not a big deal. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is a big deal to God. It's absolutely a big deal. And it's appalling to God. And somebody, we ought to stand, listen, that's why we got to be clear on the scripture. It says, and this is clear, listen, it's clear as day, salvation's by grace. You can't do anything. So, well, you know, we've really been faithful to our church. That don't get you salvation. You can come here every Sunday. What does that do? That means you're attending, you're faithful in your attendance. That don't get you salvation. Salvation clearly is a gift from God. I thank Him for it every day. Every day I thank God for saving me, because if it wouldn't be for His grace in my life, I'd be in a mess. So I thank Him for that. Now, here's my part. My part in that is I got to be obedient to show people I really have faith in God. Now, if I change nothing and I'm not obedient to any of God's commandments and I just jump on the bandwagon of anything goes as long as I go to church, then I don't know how I stand out. What makes me different? And I think we better keep those things in mind, because it's creeping in the churches faster than you ever seen anything. It's been seeded in the church. It's creeping in the church. And there's people who will stand up and do the same thing I'm doing, and they're not being obedient to the things of God. They're not keeping His commandments. They'll call wrong, right, right, wrong. And we got to be careful. Amen? When we have faith and trust in God and His word, it will manifest as obedience to God and His word in our lives. How many believe that? When we have faith and trust in God and His word, it will manifest as obedience to God and His word in our lives. I can't say I got it if it's not manifesting that I got it. Right? If it's an apple tree, it's going to bear what? Apples. Right? It's going to bear apples. If you don't bear apples and you call it an apple tree and you say, well, does it bear apples? No. What does it bear? It don't bear anything, but it's an apple tree. Why does it bear? Well, how do we know it's an apple tree? I don't know, but I'm just calling it one. Well, you can call it whatever you want. We'll never know the proof unless it's bearing fruit, right? So this is what he's saying here. We have faith and trust in God's word. It will manifest as obedience to God and His word in our lives. If one is not striving to obey God's word out of a response to God's love, or what we call grace, then that individual does not have faith. That's hard words there. Matter of fact, you can't judge me. Anybody ever see that posted? Well, I'm not judging anybody. I just read something to you. The word of God declares that. See, if you read the Word and let the Word do it, it's not somebody judging anybody. It's the fact. Listen, if there's no obedience to God's Word, you can't say I have faith. Because that they're connected together. Remember, the relationship between grace, faith, and obedience and coming to understand these principles. Romans 1:5. Let's look what it says. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake. Through whom, talking about Christ, we received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Remember, they're connected. You can't undo them. You can't undo them. I have faith, but I don't need to obey. It's absolutely impossible. It's an impostured doctrine that's crept into the Scripture. It's not true. No truth in it. So he says that we, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Romans 16, verse 26, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the commands of eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. See the connection there? Believe and obey him. Notice that. I believe that these are put in there for a reason. Because God knew folks are just going to, they're going to be a lot of people believe. But what about obeying? And that's something that we have to keep in mind. So let me just stop before I read the next verse. What are we to obey? We ought to obey his commandments. See, if he says don't do this and we do it, is that obeying? You know, if you tell your children, don't go in the road, and you look outside and they're in the road, would you consider that they obeyed you? No, you would jump out the house and snatch them up and bring them back in the yard and say, didn't I tell you not to go in the road? Why are you telling them not to go in the road? Because in the road is where you get run over, right? And it would be horrible for you to witness something happening to your children like that. How many of you think God feels the same way? And he says, Jesse, don't go in the road. And then I find myself in the road. And by his love and grace, he comes and snatches me out the road. So I told you. And how does he do that? I may be going through something because I was disobedient. But he loves me so much, he comes snatching me out the road and said, don't go in the road. And sometime on the first go around, you would snatch him up and you would shine the hiney a little bit. How many know what that means? Right? Because are you mad at him? No, you'd love him so much that you just knew if something would have happened, it'd have been so hard for you to kind of cope with that. And you was shaking on the inside. Don't ever do that again. Anybody ever have that moment with your children? That's what God's doing to us. Don't do that again. Because he just knew he was about to lose us to eternal punishment. And he don't want to lose Jesse. He don't want to lose Brian. He don't want to lose Herman. Do you understand, Tyree? He don't want to lose you. He don't want to lose anybody in here to eternal punishment. He loves us that much. He don't want to lose us. And I love God because he don't want to lose me. And you know what I've been thinking about? I don't want to lose God. So what I got to do, I got to maintain a relationship with him. How do I do that? Obey. That's it. Be obedient to his word. Just find what the text says. You got a question on something? Well, should I do this? Go in the Bible and see if it's in there. If it's not in the Bible, then you shouldn't have to be worried about it. But if it's in the word of God, we got to take it into consideration. Amen? Book of James chapter 2 verse 18 says this. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Notice that. How do you show faith? By your works. Do you work to get faith? No, that's backwards. Remember that. That's not how we get faith. We don't do good to get faith. What happens? Faith is a free gift from God. We receive his word. That's faith. That's the grace of God. Now what do I do? Now he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm going to bear fruit to what I just testified of. If I said I'm a believer, you're going to see it in my life every day. If I say I love God, you're going to see it in my life every day. Right? Because how can I say I love God but hate my brother? I know that's some tough stuff, but we can't have it both ways. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. It doesn't make a difference. So if we're going to go on that, let's let God judge us according to what we've done to others. And if he's going to judge them because we're expecting him to judge them, let him judge us too, because I'm sure we've done some things that we're not proud of, right? But what he's saying is, listen, I'm going to wash all that clean. But if I'm going to wash clean, you got to wash clean. If I'm going to forgive, you got to forgive. He said, where's that in the verse? Remember what he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive others' debts. That's clear to me. That's clear. I can't be forgiven if I ain't forgiven. It's clear as today. Forgive us as we. So if my as we ain't working, you can't expect God's to work. Amen? How many want to work on your as we to work? Amen? You got to work out a little bit. Glory to God. So God is good to us, isn't he? Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. That's clear. How many see that's clear? Isn't it nothing to me? It's very clear. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, I'm just saying, maybe this ought to be the ones we got on the post at the football games instead of John 3:16. Anybody want to give me a vote there? How you do? You know your vote. I don't even know what you call it. Is it? No, it's not tag. When you like somebody, like me. Who wants to like me on this one right here? Let me see your hand. How many likes I got? I'm getting good at this. Glory to God. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Do you see that? Now that verse right there has kind of been hidden. It's in the same chapter. But we quit reading. To me, that's the verse we should be... For God so loved the world that he gave, you know, we know that one. I wonder how many in here, clearly, honestly, who knew this by heart? Do you think we ought to know this one? Who knows some of it by heart, not all of it, but John 3:16. Who knows some of it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So you could quote some of that, right? Who can quote, who knew that verse? There it was, just sitting there right at 36 by itself, a sleeper. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. I think that's clear. I'm so glad this verse has just leaped off the page and got a hold of my heart. I got to start obeying because I'm not going to see life. And that's what I'm working for. What I'm doing every day is working toward eternal life. And the way I'm working toward that is I'm being obedient to the things of God. What already signed me up for eternal life is called grace. Anybody signed up for eternal life? It's called grace. You can't work to get on the sign-up sheet. You got signed up. God signed you up because he loved you. Gave himself for you. I mean, thank God for that. So that's important. Now, what do I do to stay on the list? I obey. Amen? So keep that in mind. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's a clear verse, and I think we got to keep that in mind, make sure that we don't forget that verse. So write that one down. That's a good verse to put in your notes, mark in your Bible, read it from time to time. That'll get you, that'll give you some victory right there. Right? Anytime I've been warned of sudden disaster in my life, I count that as a victory. A warning's a victory to me. God didn't want me to go down that road. He warned me about it. To me, that's a victory. And I thank God for it. It is unfortunate this verse is not as well known as verse John 3:16. Do you see the significant point of the passage? The word believe and obey are put into positions of equality. Right? Are they not? The words believe and obey are put in positions of equality. I don't see how God makes a difference here. He's saying believing is going to be the resulting output of believing. The resulting output is obedience, is the resulting output of your faith. Remember that statement that we made? So if I'm obeying, that's the my resulting outputs of faith. You can't see your faith. Remember, faith is what? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So you don't see your faith. And so we say, well, you just don't, nobody knows my heart. But that's the truth. We don't have to know your heart. We got to just see if you're obeying. How you acting every day. God, the one, knows our heart. He knows exactly what our heart. Nobody knows if I'm saved or not. You're right. That's between you and God. But your obedience is going to be a result. Remember that. We're going to see it clearly. If you never obey, we're going to say, And if I could see it, don't you be mistaken that God don't know it. Some people think they got God fooled. You know, he's God, and so he's so loving it doesn't make a difference what I do. And it does make a difference if God said it does. And so keep that in mind. Never forget John 3:36. That's something that we should write down and make a note of. The writer is using the technique of repetition, the opposite as the means of the emphasis. He who believes, but he who does not obey. Again, that's the phrase that's in that verse. He who believes, but he who does not obey. The person who does not obey Christ does not truly believe in Christ. So, but I believe in Christ. Truly believing in Christ is obeying what Christ is requiring of us. That's to truly believe. And that's something I think is of great value that we have to take into consideration when we're talking about our own relationship with God. We can't, you know, remember, we're not building ourselves, and we can't self-build. We do it all based upon the things of God, what God's requiring of us. He says this is what we can do and this is what we can't do. And that's how we should build our lives. So keep that in mind. The book of Acts chapter 16, I want to point out something to you so maybe we can understand this better. Acts 16, verse 30 through 33. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" So we had this situation where Paul and Silas is in prison, and we have the jailer. And they begin to sing, and the prison begin to shake, and the jail's popped open, and the prisoners all gone. And then the jailer comes, and he's going to kill himself, but he goes to kill himself, and he says, "Don't harm yourself, we're here." So they were there for a reason. And they said, "Believe." And this is, so he's asking them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So he's telling them, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household." To me, that's clear, right? See, there you go. All you got to do is believe. Well, we got to finish reading, right? "And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together, and all who were in his house." So what did they do? Spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all those that was in his house. Did they just tell him to believe? They didn't have to speak the word of the Lord to him. Why speak the word of the Lord to him? He told him just believe. Watch what he says next. "And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household." Uh-oh. We got something here. Why was he baptized? I just want to know, why was he baptized? You think maybe because that's one of the things that they told him in the word that was important for him to do? So what was he doing already? Obeying. Do you see that? They told him, just believe and your whole house will be saved. And folks stop right there. And they say, well, see, that's all you got to do is believe. And they'll create a doctrine and saying, all you got to do is believe. Nobody can judge you. It don't make a difference what happens after that. As long as you believe, you're saved. It's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story, because they tell you, they continued to expound in the word of God, him and his whole house. And after he washed their wounds, he was baptized. Why was he baptized? It didn't make no sense if all you got to do is believe. Because of being obedient to the word of God. They told him, spoke these things to his life, and that's what happened to him. So I want you to keep that in mind as you're studying and continuing researching to the things of God, looking at your Bible and studying it for yourself. Look especially at verse 34. The jailer rejoiced greatly having believed in God. What did he believe his believing include? It included obedience to the word of the Lord, which included baptism. So that's what he was believing in. And so that's something I want you to take into consideration. Let's do one more like that. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. To whom he did swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient. And so we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. They were not able to enter because of unbelief. To whom he did swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient. And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. And so there's, again, disobedience and unbelief are used together. And I want you to keep that in mind. So he says if you're not obeying, it's the same as not believing. So there's no difference. So I want you to make sure you... So compared with Hebrews 4:2, where the Israelites fell in the wilderness because of the word, was not united by faith, and also in 4:6, which says they failed to enter the promised land because of disobedience. So that we see that, again, that likeness in the text. So I want you to keep that in mind. Another one I want you to look at is this. Just before James stated that without works, faith is dead, he said... Remember, James is the one made popular that statement about faith without works is dead. In James chapter 2, verse 19, this is what he said. You believe that there is one God? Who's in agreement with that? He knew they were in agreement. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Did he say that you're believing wrong? No, he said, if you believe there's one God, you do well, because there is one God. But he said, make no mistake about it, the devils also believe and tremble. They believe that same thing. All right? Are the devils being obedient? No, you know what makes them a devil? Disobedience. You understand that? So they're not being obedient, but they believe there's one God, so that's all you got to do. As long as you believe, you're saved. They're not. And so he's pointing this, again, using this as another example in the text. Be careful that we don't get hung up on somebody who gives you one verse of scripture. All you got to do is believe. If you'll just believe right now, you're saved. And so folks will say, okay, I'm believing. I'm going to believe. Let me tell you what happened to me the other day. I was out with some customers. And we out, you know, just fishing, and it was for one day. And the man, we got to talking and everything, and he made a statement. He said, "Hey," he said, "you know of any guides in Texas? Because I live in that area. It's closer for me to go there. I want to take my boys, and I know you know the guides. Maybe y'all." Talk or whatever, maybe there's somebody you know over there you can recommend. And I said, well, not really. I said, I don't know any. He said, I went fishing one time with this guy, and he was a Christian man. And I said, well, there's my opportunity. And so I said, well, that's good. And he said, I really want to take my kids with somebody that, you know, that'll sort of like that guy. Over there. And I said, well, do you have his phone number? He said, well, no, I don't have it. That's why I'm asking you. So we got to talking more, but was on that line. So we got to talking, and I said that, you know, told him what I did and all that. And he said, man, I knew something was different. He said, and we got to talking like, he said, you know, I'm a Christian. Well, I wouldn't have thought that leading up to our conversation. You see, I wouldn't have thought that at all. I'm thinking this, you know, according to what I'm observing, according to what's coming out of his mouth and his reactions and what he's doing, I wouldn't have thought that. He said, yeah, I went that same guy I'm talking about, I got saved in his pickup truck. I said, you did? And he said, yeah. He said he got me in that truck and I was going to pay him. And he said he wasn't leaving me out that truck until I got saved. So I got saved. So I wanted to know, did you get saved because you wanted out the truck? Or did you get saved because you know it's the right thing to do? He said, I got saved to get out that truck. I got saved. And he's saved. And I said, well, it don't work like that. I said, for by grace are you saved through faith. But these are situations that are really happening. I'm saying that because they really happen. It still really happens all the time. People think, and he's living his life, he's doing his thing, you know, and he's saying all this stuff, and I'm like, whoa. And so the rest of the day, he was in his get saved suit. But up to that, he wasn't. You see my point? But he didn't know. And listen, ain't no fault to the man. He didn't know. It's somebody who had an opportunity to share it right with him and just told him, all you got to do is get saved. Well, that's what he did. He got saved. He didn't have no understanding to do anything else but get saved. And to him, he's saved. Well, that's a dangerous way to share the gospel with people. Very dangerous. Because it's more than that. It's about being obedient to the things of God. Getting saved is number one, but you don't get saved because you pick something. You get saved because you have been spoken the truth of what God provided to you by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith is somebody read the word to you, explained the word to you. You've seen it as being truth. You accepted what's been provided, called grace. You can't do anything to get grace provided to you. It's already done. It's the free gift from God. So what do I do now? I have to obey is going to be showing that my faith is real. It shows that what I've decided to do is real, and that's important to understand and keep that in mind. The demons also believe and apparently fear God, but we do not see them committing, trusting in God and his word, do we? They don't do that. They don't commit and trust in God's word. They're against God's word. If we truly believe in God, then we would also believe the Bible. And if we truly believe in the Bible, we would then do what the Bible tells us to do. And that's difficult. Goes against our ideas and our ideologies and our theologies and our doctrines that we've trusted in for years. And that's tough. Because we get attached to what we trust in and believe in. I know I do. I get attached to it. It's all I've ever believed. That's what I'm going to believe. When I die, that's what I'll be believing. Well, you know, we got to be careful that we're not caught up in that too much, because what we believe when we die, if it's not what God has provided, then we're not promised eternal life. So maybe that's why many, when they come before God, they will say, haven't we done these things in your name? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we done good to the poor? We've done all these things. And yet he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I don't know you. That's why. Where are we going to get that statement from? I don't know you. Well, I go to church. I sing in the choir. I play music. I preach. You don't know me. And that's what he says, I never knew you. And there's a reason he doesn't, because we do those things to be seen of men and for a work standpoint, not because we have truly believed in God. And that's the difference in worship. As I was saying when we first got started, worship should be an output, a resulting output of something that's actually happening on the inside. But anybody could, we can all go sing. Just put the music on, we can blend our voices together, but worship's different. Worship's a resulting output of something that's going on the inside of you in your relationship with God. You have a passion for him. That's why you can do it anywhere. Doesn't have to be in a church. You can be at your house, you can be on the job, you can be in your vehicle. How many tried to do what I talked to you about last Sunday? Remember I talked to you about having that moment with God where you call him Father? Just, Father, I love you. There's something about it. Amen? He's amazing. When we receive the truth and choose to ignore it, that is a different story. We are then insulting the Spirit of grace, and that result results in God's wrath. If we are then destroying our faith in His Word and thus faith in God Himself. And that's what happens. It's a little bit at a time. That's what this right here is one of the sneakiest things. I was praying this morning, going over this and just meditating on what I knew I was going to be sharing this morning. And the Lord said, this is one of the sneakiest things that's happened in the world, is this right here. When we receive the truth and choose to ignore it, that is a different story. Watch this. We are then insulting the Spirit of grace. Think about it. Insulting the Spirit of grace, and that results in God's wrath. We are then destroying our faith in His Word and thus faith in God Himself, and it happens over a period of time. And so, over a slow period of time, because we ignore the things that we clearly see in the Scripture, as we're serving the Lord, it could be a year after we're serving Him, maybe 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you can gain something new. After serving God for 30 years, you can be shown something in the things that Word of God. What you're supposed to do to it? Obey it. You got to subject yourself. You can't say, well, I've been doing this, you know, but you can't do that. You got to humble yourself to the revelation of the Word of God. Be willing to admit you're wrong. Listen, I have to admit I'm wrong a lot of times when I'm studying the Word of God. I say, man, that's wrong. I was wrong about that. You admit it. You humble yourself before God. But the moment you reject it, what happens, it's ignoring it. You ignore the truth. And eventually, your faith in God Himself is going to be diminished. And that's what happens. We see it in our society today. It's happening on a great, great scale. And it's so dangerous. And you never want to see that happen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Think about that. Now, I hope everybody notices something. Every time I make a comment, I got these little comments, right, throughout slides, but there's a scripture in front of it or behind it or maybe several scriptures that I'm giving you on those comments that I'm making, because it really don't matter what I'm thinking. I'm giving you these comments, but I want you to see the scripture. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. Is that clear? How much sacrifice for sin is left? He said, none. No sacrifice for sin is left. But only a fearful expectation of judgment of the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And I want you to keep that word in mind, consume. Keep the word in mind when the enemy comes against you and you feel like you're going through it, you're going to put a stop to it, because the resulting output of our disobedience to God is a consuming fire. And I don't want to be in that. Amen? Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. Anybody ever read that, studying the scripture? What would happen? Somebody would be caught stealing. They'd have 2 or 3 witnesses come. And they'd say, yep, we saw him steal. What happened? He was in trouble. Out of 2 or 3 witnesses. What if somebody was caught in adultery? 2 or 3 witnesses come, said, yep, we witnessed it. There's no doubt about it. They put him to death. That's what he's saying here. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died. Now, remember, we're rejecting the law of Moses. Why is committing adultery rejecting the law of Moses? Because he said you can't do that in the law. Now, when I say the law of Moses, was it Moses' law? No, it was just given to the people through Moses. But it wasn't his law. Whose law was it? It was God's law. Remember that. Remember, it's God's law. So anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? That's a legitimate question. We ought to answer that. We really have to answer this question. If two or three witnesses could come saying this person did this and they died under the law, they died, then how much more severely should the punishment be if we trample underfoot the Son of God? These are great questions. You know, what are we going to do to answer these things? Listen, I hope you noticed by now, serving God is serious business. It's not something you do, okay? This is not for just for the weekend. We're talking about a life commitment. Being committed to God, does that mean you quit doing everything you got to do in life? No, you're still going to do everything you do. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. I was just going over some things, reevaluating my life and spending some time with God. And I said, God, you know, there's some questions I have. I ask these questions. Could I have been better, made more of an impact if I just wouldn't be in business? Maybe I just need to be at the church. Maybe I can make a bigger impact. I said, you know, I have to put these things into question. I have to ask you all the time. I told the Lord a long time ago, I would not let my life be a life that will go on for years without revisiting the covenant contracts that I have with God. In the times that he told me to do something, I got to go back and revisit them things to make sure I'm holding up my end of the deal. So I was asking God that. And I thought, and you know, as I was thinking about it and just praying, and the Lord just be, you know, he didn't, it was no saying, yep, you're right. You shouldn't be doing that. But it was clear to me that you're doing what I asked you to do. And, you know, sometimes it gets hard when I ask you to do something. And sometimes you're in a difficult situation where you got to make some serious decisions. But I put you there for a reason. Listen, I'm in business and I'm busy just as much as anybody here. I'm out and I'm amongst everybody. I'm not just in my office up here studying for next Sunday. I'm out there. I'm in contact with people. I run a business. I do all those things. But one thing I got to do is in the midst of all that, I got to maintain my relationship with God. I can't put anything. I got to make sure I'm studying to show myself approved unto God. And how often do I study? I have to study every single day. Every day I have to put some time in the Word of God. And you can do that. I'm telling you, I'm giving you this. I'm using myself as an example. You can do it. You can do what God wants you to do if you just commit to the time. It means you're going to give up some other things. I can tell you those other things aren't nearly as important as the time you spend with God, because then you know you're going to be busy. You know you got a busy schedule, but there's no reason. Nobody is. Listen, I would put my schedule on the side of anybody's schedule. I'm busy. But I'm never too busy to spend some time with God to make sure I understand the things of God. And that's the line. You understand that. You can do it. I'm telling you, it's absolutely possible, and God wants us to keep those things in mind. Verse 30, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Dreadful thing. So people take, as you know, people would consider my message today sort of judgmental. And I'm not being judgmental at all. I'm just showing you what the Word of God. Now, we can be judged where there's time and opportunity to make amends and to fix it and repent and go on. Or you can be judged when there is no time. And that's the one God's going to do. There won't be no time. God, when he judges, he's not going to say, okay, well, now what you want to do? Your chance is now. And so that's why we read the scripture and we point those things out. And, you know, folks, but that's the more people who are living contrary to God but are Christians. They don't obey the things of God, but they're Christians. That's the favorite verse they have is, don't judge me. Don't judge that you be not judged. That's what the Bible says. You know what I tell them? I said it also says a lot of other things you need to quote. But that one's used all the time. You see that one on Facebook every now and then. Like. You know what's a big problem? They don't have an unlike, like a don't like. You ever notice that? What's the deal with that? You know, they ought to have that button. You could, I'd be on it. Right? They ought to fix that. There will be many that thought that they would be excited about the return of the Lord on the day of the Lord. But Scripture says many will be ashamed. Those who are covered by the truth of God's word will not be ashamed. But many will be ashamed. Now, when you can't be ashamed if you didn't have an expectation of something different. You see? Now, being ashamed because they expected it was all going to turn out right, then they were ashamed. And so keep that in mind. So when it's the statement, just keep it in mind. Those hiding behind the covering of the doctrine of men, contrary to the truth, will be ashamed. There's no doubt about it. The doctrine of men, when you're covered by the doctrine of men, contrary to the truth, you'll be ashamed. Just like in the garden, the knowledge of sin exposed their nakedness, and all they had was fig leaves. Anybody remember that story? So what did they do? They hid themselves and they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. I want you to remember this statement. There will be many just wearing fig leaves on the day of the Lord, hiding from the Lord in shame instead of wrapped in the clothing, clothes in the Word of God. So you got to decide what you want to go before God in, fig leaves or wrapped in His Word. And when you wrap yourself in the Word, you're literally saying, I'm wrapped in the Son of God. I'm wrapped in Christ. Because remember, the fig leaves aren't going to do it. And that fig leaves is a choice that man makes to do their own covering. And this is how this is what I think about it. But there'll be many before God in fig leaves instead of wrapped in the clothing, the Word of God. I don't want to be that. Amen? Anybody here? Anybody want to make a change? It is not possible to have faith at the same time and not strive to be obedient to God's word. Let's stand. I'm going to stop right there because I go into a whole another one and I'll save that for. We'll wrap this up and then go right into the next one next Sunday. I'll do number 3 for you. I got a couple more slides here. But I want to stop right there. Think about this. It's not possible to have faith at the same time, not strive to be obedient to God's word. How many want to be obedient to His word? Amen. How many know that's something that's very possible for all of us? It's not restraint. There's no restraint based on education. There's no restraint based on whether a person has an ability to be able to read that text. If we can have somebody sit down and share the gospel with us, we see that clearly we know what to be obedient in. How many know that the Bible's clear when it says that He made them both, male and female? How many know that's clear? But see, man can sit down in a little room and they can collectively put their minds together and they can say, well, it doesn't really, you know, matter what God said. What matters is what we say. And as a Supreme Court, we say this is how it is. Well, I want to tell you this. When it comes to God's word, you got to decide whether you're going to follow man. That's a doctrine of man. Or you're going to follow God's word. And you can't. And there's already folks who are saying, well, it's not my job to judge. This is church folks. I'm like, what? You know, I'm not going to go against the laws of man. I got to be obey. The what? What about God's laws? What about God's commands? And when you start seeing that kind of stuff, that's scary. What that is, that's a gradual shifting and ignoring the things of God. And before you know it, you call what God says is wrong. If God says it's wrong, you can't do it, you'll call it right because man says it's right. Well, I want to tell you, it's the church's job, the believer's job, to make sure that you do not adhere to the laws of man when it's contrary to the laws of God. And you can call that standing up and speaking against the laws of man. You can call that whatever you want to call it. I want to tell you, as a church, you cannot please God and go against the laws of God just because man said they're right. You cannot do that. I don't care what that law is. Because it starts somewhere and it ends up before your life can be taken from you. You stand against it no matter what the consequences are. And I can tell you, I will never, ever, ever agree when somebody makes a law. And it's a law. I want you to know that. It's a law made by man. If it's a law against the law of God, you should never agree with it. Right. Never. You ought to teach your children to do the same because they're going to be taught to obey those laws of man when they're in the schoolroom. But you teach your children at your house and you tell them, don't you do it. These are God's laws. This is what God says. I don't care what man says. You never obey the things of man. You obey the laws of God. And that's something that you have to keep in mind. Because if you think it's going to stop here, it's not going to stop. Because once man gets an appetite to play God and to be an authority, they're going to continue to do that. The church needs to wake up and realize we live in the last days. And I wouldn't be preaching on this grace effect if we wouldn't need to be prepared to make sure our relationship with God is sound. As sound as can be. And God will honor you. He'll honor your steadfastness. It doesn't mean you know everything perfect. I don't have it all figured out. And I've been doing this for a long time. But he'll honor your steadfastness. He'll honor your willingness to admit when you're wrong and the humbleness that you show when you just humble yourself before the Word of God. And listen, I don't care if the man puts it in the law and they say it's legal to do this. When God says it's illegal, it's illegal. But I have my rights. You know, I'm under the law. I'm right. I'm under God's law. So we got to decide as a believer what law you under. But here's what the churches did. The churches says, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. So they take grace and they spread grace real thin over everybody. And they put a Christian veneer on everything. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about well-known large churches are in support of what has went on. And I'm telling you, I am not. There's no possible way I can be because God says it's wrong. It'll never be right, ever. Never be right. And so I want you to keep that in mind. So when you, same, and that goes for everything. This is just one that's fresh off the, you know, just pop. There's many of them you don't even know about. That people have participated in, not even knowing it, because we don't know the things of God, because we're under grace. We don't even know the laws of God or commands of God anymore. But I'm thankful that here in our church, we've been going into the Word of God, and we're finding out these are things that you can't do, that not and please God. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're obeying God's Word. Amen? Is that okay with everybody? Listen, this is the truth, and we better be standing up for what's truth. Because if we don't stand up for what God says is truth, we have just joined in with everybody who says God's wrong. Because it's exactly what the Supreme Court did. God's wrong and God doesn't matter and it don't make a difference because we the law. We in authority. What I'm telling you, it don't make me get all worked up. What makes me do is realize we're at the end. We're at the end and that's what's going to happen. And it's closer than you ever thought. So what I want to do is make sure that I'm ready, that I'm prepared, that I'm loving God and loving others. Because that's what the Word teaches. Love God and love others. You don't love others, then love God. You love God and love others because you loving God is what shows you how to love others. It's not based on something that folks have done for you. It's based upon the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. And you're going to begin to show that to other people. So stand up for what's right. If you know it's wrong, you see it in God's Word, and what the world says is right, you got to stand up and say it's wrong. Does it mean I get a picket sign and I go walk on the street? No, it means you don't participate. And if you know somebody participating in it and they come talk to you about it, what is your obligation? Speak the truth to them. Say it's wrong. You can't do that. But I'm a Christian. No, you can't be. Well, you can't judge me. Well, I'm not going to judge. I'm going to show you what the Word says. And you take them to John. John 3, what? 36. Take them to John 3:36. And then it'll settle the issue. There it is. As plain as could be. How many are so glad you found John 3:36 in your Bible today? Glory to God. God is good. I want to say I love you and I thank God for you. But we're going to pray and ask God to give strength to everyone that's here, not only us that's here, but those around the world that truly love the Lord. And we also want God to just touch people. There's people in some serious need. Even our families in Nepal still. I'm telling you, I know that's been, it's just stuff going on. It's serious. And we just want to pray that God, everybody that's hurting, no matter where they are, what's going on, that we want to remember them today. Father,